for your very special anointed people that has come together for this great meeting. Thank you for being with us, Lord. Thank you for anointing the speakers, for indeed we have heard from you and from the Word of God in such a way that we can receive it, that we can understand it, and we believe it, Lord Jesus, and we're going to apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And we pray again tonight, Lord Jesus, that you will anoint my mind, cause my mind to be alert, and loose my tongue, that I may speak to your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray and anoint this congregation again to receive your word in faith believing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, and you may be seated. What I want to bring to you tonight is not a sermon, but it is a revelation from the word of the Lord. I want to bring to you a revelation from the word of God. I do believe that I have a revelation for you from God's word. We are living in fact, I am very sure, the most important decade of all history. Certainly for this century. We are less than 9 years to a new decade. We are less than 9 years to a new century. And we are less than 9 years from a new millennium. And I believe that this is the most important 10 years of this century, of this millennium, of these two millenniums. I believe that this is going to be the greatest years of evangelism that the oneness people have ever experienced, including the early church. That's what I believe. This will be a decade of revival. This will be a decade of unity, in spite of the little frictions that you've heard about here and there and yonder. God is going to take care of them. I promise you that the Lord is going to intervene in situations and areas and pockets of the oneness people where there is disunity and division. I don't know exactly what God will do, but he is going to do something. Whatever he has to do, he will do it, even if he has to kill a few people. This is a decade of unity. This is going to be a time when brethren hardly would walk across town to visit each other. They are going to be close friends, and they're going to be united together in this tremendous effort that you and I are involved in here in this very special meeting. Every single person that has come to this prayer camp has been chosen of the Lord to be a very special vessel, a prayer person, to make this possible, to help eliminate every single obstacle that might arise to what God wants to do in the next few years. We're going to see revival like we have never seen it before. I thank God for all the things that we've heard from the past. We all rejoice in those old time stories, the Brush Harbor stories, and all of those great meetings where entire cities were moved and touched of God. It's going to happen again like we have never seen it before. In spite of television, in spite of all technology, in spite of all kinds of sophisticated communications, that is a hindrance to the church, not a help. It is a hindrance to the church. If we could somehow eliminate all of the sophisticated communicational systems, it would make us stronger as a church. Because the enemy has taken full advantage of the sophisticated communication systems. Full advantage. For every little prayer that's prayed in some of these systems, the devil talks all day long. But in spite of those things, God is going to do His great work among us. Now the devil tried to intimidate me to keep me from prophesying to you folk. But I'm not going to let the devil or anybody or anything else keep me from saying what God has told me to tell you. We have been absolutely overwhelmed in recent months because of some of the scriptures in the Word of God that would seem to be being profoundly fulfilled in this terrible war in the Middle East. It is incredible things that has happened. And we can look into the revelation and we can read scriptures that seems to be being fulfilled. For instance, let me read just one. I won't read many, but just one. In the 18th chapter of the Revelation, beginning with verse 9, "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her, which they shall see the smoke of her burning." This is talking about Babylon, Iraq, if you please, in that whole area of the Babylonian, Assyrian kingdom of times past. They tell us it will actually take as long as 10 or 20 years to put out the fires that have been started in recent weeks and months, and shall wail because of the smoke of her burning, standing afar off in fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city of Babylon," or Baghdad if you please, "that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore." It would seem that scriptures like this has been profoundly fulfilled. They have not. What has happened in the last few weeks and months is not a fulfillment of these scriptures. If they are being fulfilled, then you and I are in the middle of the great tribulation. And we are not in the middle of the great tribulation. That is not going to happen until after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is still resisting the power of the Antichrist. It is described in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. Amen. Verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first." Well, we've already experienced that. In the great dark ages, there was a massive falling away until the church was almost non-existent. God's always had a church. God's always had a people in every century. But there was a time during the Middle Ages until it was so small and so almost insignificant as far as the world is concerned. There was a great falling away. And you and I today are in the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the end time. And that man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition, speaking of the Antichrist that will come, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's impossible right now. There is no temple in Jerusalem right now. They've already had a lot of fights over there about starting it. That's the reason those Arabs died. Or those, they got into a squabble over there and fight and caused quite a ruckus over the entire world. It was because of the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, that was wanting to lay the cornerstone. And there was such an uprising that it resulted in some Arabs being killed that caused quite a ruckus over the entire world and even caused Israel to be condemned for what they were doing. But it will be done. I am told that it is absolute fact that there are in fact building a house for the coming Messiah even now. The Orthodox Jews building a house for the Messiah to come. We are near. But these events, these things have not yet taken place. Let me read for you in verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I think very definitely that that is speaking of the church. I want you to know that this body of believers, of beautiful, precious believers that are here in this tabernacle tonight, you are a strong hindering force to the devil. As long as there's people like you in the world, the Antichrist cannot make his appearance. He cannot be revealed. As long as there's people like you banding yourselves together, filled with the Spirit of God, doing spiritual warfare. Because we have authority. I said we have authority. He cannot overcome us. He cannot subdue us. Amen. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Why is it that these scriptures, why is it that we can turn to the revelation and turn to scriptures, and there are many more. I won't take time to read them. I just want to read that one example. Why is it that we can turn to scriptures that is describing conditions during the Great Tribulation when the Antichrist is in full power, in full control of this earth? Why is it that we can turn to scriptures and read, and it would seem that we were reading current events? Why is that true? I'll tell you why. Because Saddam Hussein rose up in the spirit of Antichrist. Antichrist tried to come before his time. Antichrist tried to raise himself up before his time. He has done this before. He did this in Hitler. Hitler rose up in the spirit of Antichrist. And he persecuted the Jews severely. He slaughtered over 6 million Jews. His hatred was so vehement towards the Jewish nation. And Saddam Hussein, his hatred for America is very keen, but his fervent hatred is for Israel. It has already been stated today that the target was Israel, that Israel was to be totally destroyed. But God's people, I said God's people, rose up in defense, both in prayer and in natural warfare. And Israel was protected. God bless your hearts. Now then, this man has rose up in the spirit of Antichrist from the very area in which no doubt the Antichrist will come. The old Babylonian and Assyrian empire, if you please. No better place in the world for them to come from. All of these historical things. The very symbol of the government of the false Christ is that of a seven-headed beast. He is described in the 13th chapter of the Revelation. And the reason for the seven-headed beast to be the symbol of the false world government is because there has already been six times that there has been a world empire. First, there was the Assyrian empire. And then the Egyptian world empire. And then the Babylonian empire. And the Medes and the Persians. The Greeks and the Romans. It has been six times there has been a world empire. The seventh will be that of the false Christ when he comes. And he is able to organize the world into the seventh world empire. The seventh head of that beast that represents false world government. That has not yet materialized, but the spirit of it has risen up. First in Hitler and in others, and now in Saddam Hussein. But his armies have been totally crushed. Totally crushed. Let me remind you of some things that I have taught for many years here in Louisiana. Oh, how I appreciate the way the people of Louisiana love me, and I hope I never disappoint you. I have come down here so much. My goodness, I've been down here for your camp meeting every other year for 10 years, and I guess you're going to let me come again next year. Amen. I hope I never disappoint you. And so I've taught everything I know. I don't know how many times down here. I just have to kind of shuffle it up and rearrange it or something, you know, and teach it to you again. But I have taught on intercession and on spiritual warfare down here many times. And one of the things that I have taught for many years is that satanic powers follow political boundaries. The scripture that I read for you tonight as a text in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 speaks of that very theme. Let me read it to you again. Let me call it to your attention again. It speaks of principalities. That's an old English word which means a small government. Principalities. And then it speaks of powers. The word powers is an old English word which means national control. If you were in England and it would speak of the Queen of England, we would say the Queen of England or the government of England. What they would say in London is the powers that be, because they still use much of the old English. And the old English, the word powers means national control. It speaks of principalities, a small government. Powers, national government. And then it speaks of world, small government, national government, world government. And then the seat of high places. This scripture literally divides the government of the Satan and of spiritual powers into political divisions. That was proved in my ministry when I traveled as an evangelist over all of Asia and Europe for many years. I discovered that though I was having revival, great revival, in one particular nation, the minute I would cross a national boundary, I was in another whole new ball game altogether. That's the reason why that even here at home, in our cities here at home, you can have great revival. Go down the road 10 miles to another town and literally nothing is happening. It is because satanic powers follow political boundaries. And any time that we have great revival, someone has to take control over those spiritual powers that control in that local situation. And we can do it. We have proven it over and over. Great churches in the state of Louisiana. Great churches that are represented here tonight. In strongholds, even out in the east where Sister Kelly is from. I want you to know God has given us some great churches right in the middle of the east. Great churches. Right where we thought for so long that we couldn't even have a church out there. We thought we was absolutely confined forever to have little storefront churches out in the east. That's not true anymore. I want you to know we've got churches out there just as powerful as you've got right here in Louisiana. Hallelujah. Somebody went out there and took control over the spiritual forces that were binding those people. But somebody has to do it. We learned that. Sister Cole and I learned that. And we would, when we would move from one nation to another in our evangelism. And Sister Cole and I were the very first officially appointed evangelists. There was others that had done the work. But we were the first officially appointed to go as evangelists. We went to Asia. And we learned very quickly that when you cross a boundary, that you're dealing with a whole new satanic system. And you have to take control of that and take authority over that. And the way that you do that is through intercessory prayer. The very thing that we've been doing here, we've been taking control of spirits that hinder your families. We've been taking control of spirits that hinders your churches. We've been taking control of spirits that hinders your cities. We've been doing it. I'm telling you, there is victory in this place. There is victory in this place. We can do it. The devil will try to frighten you and trouble you. And some of you will go home. And you'll have some frightening experiences. The important thing is, do not be afraid. Ever. Don't never be afraid. He that is within you is greater than he that's in the world. Don't never be afraid. I remember one time I came into Munich, Germany. If I would have remembered my geography and my history, I didn't at the time, I would have realized that I was very, very near to one of those terrible prisons where so many thousands and thousands of Jews had died a martyr's death during World War II. But I didn't remember that. I had forgotten that. And I remember I was in the gate for an airplane. We were going to Frankfurt. And Sister Cole was with me. And suddenly I just fell down in a seat and started sobbing. She said, "What is the matter with you, Billy?" I said, "It may be that I am just tired. But I sense the strongest satanic power that I have ever witnessed in my life." Anyhow, we went on. And we was on to Wiesbaden. That was back in the days when the church was just almost non-existent there in that city. And we went to the hotel. And the very first night in that hotel, I awakened in the middle of the night. And I suddenly realized I was literally, physically paralyzed from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I could not move. I could not move a finger. I couldn't wiggle my toe. I was literally paralyzed. And I sensed in my heart and mind that it was satanic power and that he had come to terrify me and to frighten me. So I made an effort to speak to satanic power. I don't suppose it was the devil himself, but anyhow, it was his system that they had identified me. And so I wanted to speak to them. And I realized, and God being my witness, I'm not exaggerating this story one jot or tittle. This is the way it happened. Sister Cole was with me. And I tried to speak. And to my amazement, my voice was paralyzed. I could not speak one word. But that still doesn't stop you when you got the Holy Ghost. The Lord knows the very thoughts and the intents of your heart. So I prayed earnestly in my mind, in my spirit, in my heart. And I didn't say, God, kick the devil out of here. I prayed, God, give me my voice so I can talk to him. You don't have to be afraid of him. Hallelujah. And I must have been making a terrific physical effort, because when my voice came, I shouted out so loud that I woke up families three or four rooms around me. So I must have been trying to speak very hard, but I still could not move, but I had my voice. And so with my voice, I said, Satan and your system, you identified me in Munich. And the reason you have come here is because you are afraid of me. And you're trying to frighten me. And I'm telling you right now, I am not afraid of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, it's very obvious that you're afraid of me. And so by the authority of the power and the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to release me right now. And instantaneously I was free. And I jumped up and was dancing in the spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. The most important weapon the devil has is fear. To terrify us. To whisper lies to us, to intimidate us, to give us false concepts, for us to somehow make Satan equal to God. Let me tell you, there's no relationship whatsoever. We talk about opposites and contrasts. And we say, well, what is the contrast of the opposite to black? And we'll answer, white. Amen. And we ask, what is the contrast to sour? And we will answer, sweet. And we'll answer, what is the contrast of the opposite to the devil? And we'll answer, God. That is not true. That is absolutely not true. God has no opposite. There is none like him. Let me tell you who Satan is opposite to. Sister Mangan mentioned him last night. There were three cherubs. There was Michael, there was Gabriel, and there was Lucifer. Michael was the warrior. Gabriel was the messenger. And their angels. The Bible speaks of Michael and his angels. Gabriel and his angels. And Satan or Lucifer and his angels. It would seem that the angels were divided into third parts. And that their commissions were of a different nature. One being warriors. The others being messengers. Amen. And then Lucifer was a singer. He had a voice like an organ. His voice was like a pipe organ. Look it in the scripture and research it. His voice was like a massive pipe organ. His power is his voice. The power to speak to you. The devil cannot destroy one single saint of God. Cannot. All he can do is to whisper a lie into your mind, and you will self-destruct. Satan can't do it. He can just cause you to destroy yourself. Amen. Now, he is clever. He's had lots of experience because he's been around a long time. Been here a lot longer than I have. And he's done battle with all of them. And he's learned something from all of them. So whenever we're new beginners and we're new in the Lord, he will try to play the same old tricks upon us. That's the reason why you need to know God's Word, so that he cannot deceive you. So that he cannot deceive you. But he is able to set up his system. He is not omnipresent. The devil is not everywhere. These astronauts that go to the moon, let me tell you something, the devil's not even on the moon. He is confined to this earth. Makes you want to be an astronaut, doesn't it? Well, we're all going to be one of these days. Hallelujah. He can't even be everywhere in the earth at one time. He cannot be here and in Thailand at the same time. He is a fallen cherub. He can move from point A to point B within 1 second. But he cannot be both places at the same time. He is not the contrast to God. He is not the opposite of God. Michael is, or Gabriel is. Our God is distinct. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. And the God that is all powerful lives in me and lives in you. And I have authority over the devil. Someone said, Brother Cole, aren't you afraid to talk like that? Absolutely not. I want you to know the devil is scared to death of me. And that is not arrogance. That is knowledge. Satan is terrified of me. And he's terrified of you as long as you're not afraid of him. But as soon as you get afraid of him, he'll move in. He is smart. Amen. Amen. But what I want to say is this, that the earth is a physical manifestation of what is happening in the spirit world. You can oftentimes discern what is going on in the spirit world because of what is happening in the physical, visible earth. You can tell what is the spiritual condition of a nation many times by what is happening in the visible, physical part of that nation in the area in which you are. Now, I'm about to bring a revelation to you. I'm asking you why. Why was Saddam Hussein so totally destroyed? Why was his army so completely smashed and destroyed the way they were? Are you aware that every single weapon that the United States of America used in this war a few months ago was in existence during the Vietnam War? Every single weapon that was used in this war was not a new weapon. Oh, Brother Cole, what about that stealth plane they're talking about? Let me tell you something. The reason you're seeing so many pictures of that plane, and the reason you're seeing films of it and videos of it, and advertisements of it, and you see its picture everywhere. You want me to tell you why? Because it is obsolete. You will never, ever see a picture of an American plane that is new. Never. When they start showing you pictures and talking about negotiations, whether we're going to get rid of it or not, that plane is obsolete, and they want to quit making it. And it's just all political rhetoric. I talked to a man that was a former member of the CIA, and I said, you don't have to answer me. I don't want you to answer me if you should not answer me. But I want to tell you something. And I told him the same thing I just told you. And I said, sir, I think we have had this stilt plane for a long time. He said, Brother Cole, I personally got on one of those planes in 1976. I boarded one of those planes myself. We've had that plane for years. We've known every time that those Russians have brushed their teeth. I want you to know the reason they're falling apart over there. They are scared to death. Now then, what is happening? The Berlin Wall crumbling down. The Antichrist could never come with that wall up. Never. Europe had to be reunited. But why are these things happening? Why with the same weapons when we were so humiliated in Vietnam? Absolutely, totally humiliated in Vietnam. But yet such a fast war. Someone said with the loss of 100 men in 100 days. Literally crushed and smashed. That situation over there. Never in the history of all the world has there been such a devastating blow been given to a... Why did it happen? I'll tell you why. Because it is the physical, visible manifestation of what has happened in the spirit world. The spirit of the Antichrist rose up to take control and to set up another world empire prematurely. And because of people like you, intercession, there has been such a massive smashing of the spirit of the Antichrist and of the devil that he has literally been driven back to the portals of hell. Oh, yeah. Saddam Hussein is still living. But he ain't worth much. And he's not very powerful. He might rise again. He may rise again. And he's still eating and sleeping and drinking. He's not dead yet. And we have to maintain the embargo. But I want you to know, he is severely wounded. His city is crushed. His nation is wiped out. His nation is nothing but one massive junkyard. And I'm telling you tonight that in the spirit world, it's the same situation. God has heard our prayers. God has heard our intercession. And Satan has been driven back. And God has given us a period of time when we're going to have great revival. I believe it with all of my heart. At the very time that the devil would smash us and destroy us, God took him by the nape of the neck and jerked him back. And God has given us power and authority over him. You're going to have new authority in your city like you've never had before. People that you've been working with for years and they have not been responsive, suddenly they're going to respond to your testimony. Where it's been hard to testify, you're going to find it easy to testify. Where it's been hard to get people to come to church, it's going to be easy to come to church. The old devil is still living, but he's wounded. He is driven back. God has given us authority over him. Hallelujah. God has given us authority over him. Let me ask Brother James,
When did that girl come back? How long ago? In January. It's no accident. It's no coincidence that she came back this year. I want you to know there is something happening in the spirit world. There is something happening in the spirit world. There is something happening in the spirit world. You women that have been laying on your faces before God, God has heard your prayer. You preachers' wives, it's been struggling. You've been having a hard time even putting a little bit of food on your table. I want you to know things are going to change. Praise God. People you've been praying for years, are going to come into the church. And you won't wonder. You'll wonder why in the name of God they're coming. What have we done different? You haven't done nothing different. The devil has just been sent to hell to whip and to lick his wounds. The devil is in hell tonight licking his wounds. Let me tell you something. Do you think that it was coincidental that for the first time since the day of Pentecost, that 3,000 got the Holy Ghost in one meeting 2 weeks ago? Do you think that's coincidental? No, that's not coincidental. The time has come. The time has come. The time has come. We have done it. We have done it. We have done it. Praise be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, what about all these things that's already been said? There hasn't been one thing said in this meeting that hasn't been ordered to the Lord. We're going to have to keep the embargo on. We're going to have to keep the pressure on. Keep that old boy down under the ground in his palace. Keep the embargo on. Keep the pressure on. Hunter, we're going to do it with prayer. We're going to do it with worship. We're going to do it with praise. We're going to do it with faith. We're going to do it with action. Praise God. I've been preaching 37 years. I've fought devils everywhere in the country and everywhere in the world. I've been in Buddhist countries and Hindu countries and you name it. And I have never ever been fought so hard as to come and preach this message to you tonight. In fact, I have wrestled so hard with Satan, I am so sick physically that I'm ready to fall down on my face. But I want you to know I have preached to you the Word of God. This is a word from the Lord. This is a word from the Lord. God has answered your prayers. God has given you the victory. You can go home with the victory. Okay, Brother Burns? Praise the Lord. Ha-ha. You got to keep the pressure on. You got to keep the embargo on. But he is defeated. He is still alive. But he is defeated. He is wounded. He is humiliated. And God is going to give us this end time revival. Now, before I pass out, I need to tell you two or three more things. Just remain standing. There are several things we need to do to keep this under control. I want you to expect revival in the next few years like you have never even dreamed of. Like you've never even dreamed of. You feel this? I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you feel this?
I feel it.
Amen. Praise God. One, you're going to have to love the truth. And some of this stuff that we think is the truth is nothing but UPC tradition. You're going to have to be able to decide what is tradition and what is Bible. And as for me, I'm going to preach Bible. I don't care who don't like it. Now, I'm telling you, I got some friends out there that I love, and I'm going to keep on loving them. And they're in tradition up to here. And to them, tradition is heaven or hell issues. And I'm not going to stop loving them. I'm not going to attack them. I'm going to help them every time I can, but I am not going to allow them to intimidate me. Revival! Revival! We're going to have revival! Number two, you're going